This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bites coming at you spicier than a nasi lemak dress on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Richard Bradbury in the studio with
Aravinia Viraj
and Christine Wong.
A whole bunch of stories lined up for you today, of course. We're going to be kicking off with a story about how AI on your phone is searching for unusual terms that somebody has found out about recently. We're then going to be moving on to a story about how you can avoid some of the blockchain hype, or rather what the blockchain hype has done for some companies. We'll be talking about Singapore's new terminal, Terminal 4,
terminal
I believe
4,
it is. Wrapping up a little bit later on with WhatsApp updates and what they've done recently. And in between that, we've got a little story about solar panel bling.
Yes.
So what's going on the iPhones right now, Christine?
Okay, so Twitter users on Monday discovered that searching for the word brassiere in Apple's default photos app returned images that were not entirely safe for work.
Interesting.
So basically, the fact of the matter is the Apple Photos app has a feature, which I actually didn't know about until I read this article, where you can search for certain tags. You can search for certain words, so like dog or bottle or cat or whatever. But it turns out that, you know, part of, you know, what you can search for are words like that. So kind of words that would bring up not safe for work images, right? And
how convenient.
Yeah. So what it is that the AI in the iPhone is essentially kind of assigns like a label to all of your photos kind of automatically because it's trying to learn what's in
your picture.
Yeah. So what these companies are doing is analyzing your photos for content and then they use sophisticated image recognition algorithms that can easily recognize anything from like dogs and boats to faces and actions. So when something like that is detected, a tag is added to the metadata that the service tracks in relation to that photo. And it's a very low-level process. So the system doesn't actually know what that thing is, just that photos with certain numbers associated with them corresponding to various visual features get that tag.
Right.
And then you can search for those things, but you can find them easily. Now, the issue with this is that with a word like that, with a
it's
word
very
like
specific.
Here, it's number one, very specific, and number two, it feels very invasive because when you search for something on the Photos app, it kind of comes up as what is known as a category, which kind of suggests that the photo's in a folder somewhere, presumably labeled with that category. And I had a look on my phone the other day as well, and it does actually bring up photos that are not they're not safe for work. They're not safe for work, but it just feels very weird that they've categorized these specific photos in that way. But what it is that it's not actually putting it into a folder or sending it to anyone, so don't worry about that. It's just kind of labeling something and allowing you to search for it like you would search for a tag on a website or something like that.
Okay. Arvin, does Android have anything like that?
No, not that I know of.
You can't search for bras on your phone.
I mean, technically, I think anyone could do anything with their phones, but it's just that I don't think they are. I've seen like how it does its image sorting thing, and it doesn't sort it at all, basically.
Right.
I can't exactly search for words, and then it doesn't like tag it on. I can search for locations though.
Mm. Right.
And then it picks where I took what if my location, what do you call it, the location ping thing was on.
Okay.
Yeah, but other than that, I've no idea how this works.
Do you find it invasive then, Christine?
I find it kind of weird. I will also note that people have done tests with Google Photos as well and found that a very similar thing happened with what it categorized. I find it kind of bizarre, right? Because it wasn't a feature that I knew about. I think the main issue that I have with this is the fact that it's a feature that you can't turn off and it's a feature that no one has really talked about. I didn't even know you could search for certain photos of certain things. And the other thing about it is that it doesn't get it right. So I understand that the AI is learning, but it's not learning correctly and it's not giving you the option to help it learn or anything like that.
As in saying, this is not a brassiere.
Yeah.
This is a t-shirt with straps.
It just decides what it is. So, for example, when I typed in the word dog into my Photos app, it also came up with a video that I took of a rabbit. And it's like, clearly that's not a dog, but I have no way of telling the app that or no way of switching off this like AI learning thing in my phone.
Interesting.
So that's what I find kind of invasive about it is that it's something that no one knew. Like, basically, no one knows that their Photos app is categorizing all of this stuff.
Mm.
And so that's where I kind of find find it a bit weird.
I mean, for a while they have included the categories of people and places, yeah. right? So they've just expanded upon that now, I suppose. And they're not listing these categories. It's just saying that if you were to search for it, it might try and find something that resembles what it is you're searching
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it essentially filters through your photos and says, hey, we think this is in this photo, so eh? Ah. But I just find it very awkward because the people and places thing we knew about, this we didn't.
Right.
So
no, I mean, if it's doing it by, which means that it's sorting it by any kind of thing. So if you look for building, then it searches for like any picture that has a building in it, or you search for like lake, and then any picture that has a lake in it.
Yeah.
So basically, what it's doing is it's just taking any word in the dictionary and associating it with any kind of picture that you have,
with a specific kind of set of numbers that correspond to that particular visual. Oh. Sorry,
but it seems very strange that your phone is trying to learn something. And yet this data is then not sent anywhere. Because how does that actually help anything?
See, that's my other question, right? Is that if it's just using this to learn, number one, you can't actually teach it anything because you can't input anything into it. And number two, what is it doing then? Mm. You know, like, granted, it's a sorting feature, but it doesn't really seem to be helpful to anyone, even
especially if you don't know about it.
Right? So I'm just in a place where, you know, I really want Apple and Google to address this and kind of make it clear. And, you know, if it is for learning purposes, for the AI, I'm sure people don't mind labeling their things and stuff like that, or they can opt not to.
Right.
But it's giving us a choice as to whether or not we can, you know, we're allowing this AI to learn from our photos.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time, you know, big data collection, you know, and we talk about the kind of the pros and the cons of it. And, you know, I think when we talk about it generally, there are more positives than there are negatives, I think. But the issue is, the bigger issue, that we don't know about it, and our privacy is being compromised in more ways than one. I mean, it was only yesterday we were speaking about the iPhone listening in on advertisements and one thing or another.
Yeah.
You know, so little things like this is even more of a kind of nod to Silicon Valley, as to say, look, hey, you know, we're getting a little bit tired of all of this stuff that you guys are doing. You know, at least include us in the stuff that you're thinking about doing.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, when your phone does it for you, then it gives access to other people who want that information without you wanting to give them that information.
Yeah.
I think the way to go is to do what Instagram does. So let you hashtag your pictures with whatever you want. So like moving forward, if there was a way, if you snap a picture of, let's say, a place, and then you could hashtag it with the name of the place, the location, whatever else you want in that, just say a family member's in the picture, then you just put like aunt or uncle or whatever.
Right.
So when you want to look for it in the future, then you know what you've hashtagged it with.
Yeah. Right.
I will also say that the only word that would be potentially not safe for work that you can find in the Photos app is brassiere. There's no other word that you can search for.
Okay.
So that feels slightly better. That we know of. But so far, having had a look and trying to like hack my own Photos app, essentially, right? Doesn't bring up anything. Like you physically can't search with those kinds of categories.
But why that one word?
Like, exactly. So that's where my concern is. Why is that word even a category in the first place?
You know, why not bras? You know, who uses the word brassiere nowadays? You know, not many.
Apple, apparently.
Apple, yeah, right. All right. They've released iOS 11.1 today as well.
With lots of different emojis.
70 new emojis. The T-Rex. The T-Rex is the thing that I'm most excited about. Nice. I'll be using that all the time. Sorry, guys. All right. Let's move on to our next story then. It's about a little bit of hype around the term blockchain. There's a company in the UK, actually, a British company. They've been investing in internet and information businesses, and they, just a few days ago, had their best day on record. The company is called Online PLC, and they jumped as much as 394% on Friday after announcing plans to just change its name from Online PLC to Online Blockchain PLC. Following its initial climb of 19% on Thursday when it first announced the news. Biggest one-day gain for the small-cap company since its December 1996 listing. Trading volume reached 2.9 million shares by early afternoon in London. It's equal to more than 16 times the entire year's trading before the last 2 days. So this is not the first company that's done that. As we know, blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies are the new exciting areas that people are working on. But the very fact that there is so much hype around this whole thing, that just by adding that one term after the name of your company can push up your share prices by 394%, I think is ridiculous. You know, and this is when people start talking about the idea of it being a bubble.
Yeah.
You know?
But are they actually using blockchain, or are they just called blockchain?
They are, but they're also saying that our blockchain tech is not fully developed yet.
Okay.
And I think that, again, it is part of the issue. You know, a lot of this blockchain tech we talk about right now is just these pie-in-the-sky ideas that have not been cemented in real, actual, demonstrable pieces of software.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We had, like, I think in the 90s, we had a surge of shops that had the word 2020 in it. Because
really?
Of, like, Wawasan Doplo, and when it was announced.
Ah.
So we had, like, shops and restaurants, and every other person was naming their thing either 2020 or, like, Wawasan 2020.
Right.
So it became, like, the new buzzword here, and then it just slowly, like, faded out after that, like, years and years.
Right.
So I think now with tech companies, people want to just call themselves, like, crypto something or Ether, whatever, or like blockchain and stuff. And it's weird because I think people are jumping on the bandwagon without actually understanding what it is.
Right.
See, this is the thing especially with the fact that you can now hashtag things and things like that. Labels have become very, very important in deciding what
profitable
is or isn't
well.
Popular and profitable. So for example, like, you know, think back, you know, to like Instagram with the hashtag no filter. Almost every single post in the no filter tag probably has a filter on it of some kind. I'm guilty of using the no filter tag as well, even when I know I've edited the photo in some way. Why do I do it? I don't know. I know that the photo is going to get more likes.
Right.
Right? So I find it really interesting that this kind of ties into the mentality that a single word can make something so much more than what it is.
Mm-mm.
You know? And I think it really reflects how the current generation decides what is or isn't popular.
Mm.
So I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the company have had to come out and issue a statement and say, look, you know, we've just changed our name. The way in which we do business at the moment hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
You know? So be aware that what you're investing in is something that's kind of speculative right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
I mean, any new thing that comes up, people want to jump on it and then buy, and they're not sure how it actually works. They're just like, they miss the Ether and the Bitcoin bandwagon.
Right.
And now they want to jump onto any other small bandwagon that's moving along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is wrong, because you should actually get to know what's going on first before.
Especially if you're spending money.
Yeah. And especially if it has to do with technology and, you know, new technology that people are not so sure about.
Mm. Right. We're going to take a small short break with some music from the Arctic Monkeys in a second. It is Fluorescent Adolescent coming up. If you want to get in touch with the show, we're on Twitter at BFM Radio, and of course on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. When we come back, we're talking about the new Terminal 4 over at Changi Airport down in Singapore. Do not go anywhere. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvaraj
and Christine Wong.
If you missed any part of the show so far, we are 20 minutes in. We've had stories about how the AI on some iPhones are doing really weird, very specific searches.
Mm-hmm. I will just say this. If any of you guys have an iPhone out there and you want to go into your Photos app and just search for whatever, there are some pretty bizarre categories in the iPhone app, including things like cowboy hat. So if you want to let us know, you know, kind of some of the funny things that you found
in
your Photos app.
Can you do ands? So like cowboy hat and something?
Nope. You can just search for single words or places.
That's very
interesting. Or phrases like birthday cake is another one.
Uh-huh.
Clock tower is also another one as well.
Oh, my
so
word.
If you guys find anything like that, feel free to tweet it in.
Yeah,
what kind of
know.
Demographic is that? That like cowboy hats, that's iPhone.
Cowboy
like,
hats and beehives as
and
well.
And beehives, yeah.
Then we moved on briefly to talk about how you should be aware of the blockchain hype and how some businesses have managed to increase their share prices tremendously, 394% in some cases, just by adjusting their name. Arvind is now going to talk to us, though, about how Singapore have opened a new high-tech airport terminal. It is Terminal 4 at a cost of 985 million Sing dollars.
Yeah.
Not cheap then.
No. And of course it's in Singapore.
Of course.
Right? Of course it's in Changi. So Changi, they normally they call it the world's best airport. It's always been voted as the best airport in the world.
It is pretty cool though.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And they've got a lot of like cool facilities and stuff. If you're stranded
Butterfly
there.
Garden.
Yeah? Cinemas, watch for free, stuff like that. They've opened what they call a cutting edge terminal. They just did it yesterday with a fully automated check-in system, including facial scanning and computerized baggage drop points.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in theory, if this works, then passengers should be able to check in and board the plane without ever having to talk to
a single human being
or staff at the airport.
Sounds more like Singapore every sentence.
So this is at Terminal 4. That's their new one. I think AirAsia is operating from there also in Terminal 4. They're moving there in November, I think. It is November. Mid-November, okay. They're moving there.
Welcome back, Arvin. Welcome back.
Yeah. So I can't believe it's like almost like 2 months away. They expect to have an annual capacity of 16 million people. It was built to cope with the increase in passenger numbers because Changi is one of the world's busiest airports. In its first day of operations, they had 100 passengers pass these automatic gates. The problem was some of them had trouble using it. They had trouble with the facial recognition stuff and getting their biometrics and things, so they moved to the manual check-in counters. So it's going to take a bit of getting used to, that's what they say.
Right.
Their new technology, the facial recognition, one of the things, I mean, this is what they say they can use it for in the future, is it will help with stuff like human trafficking issues. And then, of course, you can match faces with missing persons. The other thing is, if you really think about it, and this wasn't included in the piece in the Star where we pulled this article from, but I was doing some reading, and what airports want to use facial recognition for is to get a reading of what the passenger is feeling like when before they board the plane. So whether they are nervous, whether they're anxious, whether they are in emotional distress.
Okay.
Yeah. So because you want to know how the person is feeling and not just like putting it on paper, right?
Right, right.
Before boarding a plane. So it sort of increases safety. This is not what Changi is doing, by the way. This is what, because I was reading up on what facial recognition can be used for in airports, and they say these are some of the things that it can be implemented for. So it's kind of interesting. When I was away in Singapore last week, I spoke to Faisal Arif, and he came up with something called Border Pass. And Border Pass, what he wants to do is he wants to get the immigration on the other side to have your biometrics so that you don't have to fill up that paper and that form before going to another country.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. So it makes it faster.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that and putting that together with this automatic gate and the auto baggage drop stuff, and it could make flying much, much easier.
There is a British company actually who are developing something very similar, ironically enough, using blockchain technology and facial recognition software, where all of your once you've flown once, all of your biometric data is stored. Everything is stored, so you literally just turn up at the airport, smile at the camera, I assume, and that then determines whether or not you're in and out. It's paperless and borderless. It's paperless passports almost.
That's exactly what Border Pass was doing. I think they just installed their first machine last year, November, so about a year ago. And they've been testing it out with certain companies that the airports trust.
Yeah.
And they want these specific group of employees to move in and out without having immigration problems.
Right, right.
Yeah, so if he can do that with this, like these auto gates, and he can sort of leverage on this, I don't know how it works, but if they can work together, then it'll make the transition like way smoother. Because one of the biggest problems, I love traveling, I hate the process of going to the airport. I hate checking in like 3 hours or 2 hours early. I don't like the lines to get your baggage checked. People need to start using auto baggage drop points, like what Singapore is doing here in Changi.
Yeah.
I think
Everywhere else does it. You know? In Europe, it's the thing.
It's the thing. If you don't know how to use it, then you need to figure out how to use it. It's only here that we still use the manual stuff and we still have like queues and all.
Yeah.
It's such a long, tiring process.
Yeah.
And then even when it comes to customs, I'm not going to name which country or which customs or anything, but I've been through like customs gates where no one's actually looking at the baggage. They're talking to each other and blah, blah, blah and stuff. So it's kind of redundant. If you have machines doing it and if you have like auto gates like this and checking it and doing like better scans on your baggage, then one, it's safer and it makes things quicker as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things where in theory it would be good, but I don't know. I would like to see more automated stuff in airports for sure. This is because, like you guys have said, it's so, so inconvenient. And also, there are people who, you know, like, they don't know where to go sometimes. So people who want to use the self-check-in lane, but they haven't checked in or anything. And then it's a whole thing because they go to the baggage drop. But it's like, oh, you need to check in. And then it goes on this whole roundabout. So having things that are automated might be good. But then it's also, like, there are some times where, for example, like, I have a really heavy bag, but it's, like, maybe, like, 0.1 gram over the weight limit. Like, and when with a human, I guess you would kind of be allowed to bring that in or not.
Mm.
But with a computer kind of operating everything, I'm not sure. So I don't know how they're going to make allowances for that kind of thing,
right?
As well. So I think you have to kind of go about this in a very careful way in order to make it still, you know, an experience that will allow for human error, I guess.
Right. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I fly to Langkawi quite often, and I use a local airline, and I always do my self-check-in. I always do my own baggage drop and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use the airport at Langkawi, there is a terminal which you print off your data or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that I've tried to do that, and there's always been a problem,
mm-hmm.
and I've always ended up having to go through the security lines and speak to somebody else, and mm-hmm. then I get sent back to the machine,
right.
and one thing or another. It's not that the idea isn't there, it's the implementation of how it's done.
Yep.
The people
yep.
who are looking after those machines are not trained well,
yep.
know, because they are not as knowledgeable as we want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're going to have the kind of, you know, the blockage, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you still see like longer queues at the counters where the people are at, even though like if you get a ticket through AirAsia and you don't have a check-in baggage, they have the machines to print out your boarding passes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you see very little people at the machines,
yeah.
and you see more people still waiting in line like half an hour, like 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
You know why? Because people are lazy and they want somebody else to do it for them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So they don't want to key in. It's as simple as keying in like five alphabets and getting your boarding pass if you don't have baggage.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about like security and stuff and then at airports, just day before yesterday, there was a 7-year-old girl in Geneva who took a train to the airport and got onto a plane without a boarding pass.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
She's seven. What she did was she got away from her parents. Why, we don't know. She took a train, like one of those SkyTrain things, to one of the terminals. She wanted to board the plane at first. At first, she was stopped because someone noticed her, turned her away. She pretended to get absorbed into the crowd. She went to another gate, and she actually got on because she said that she was with one of the adults that were walking in front of her.
What?
And she tagged along, and because she's pretty small, she's seven, so she just slipped through and she got onto the plane. The parents had gone to the airport police, and the police were tracking her through the CCTVs. They saw her getting onto the plane, so they had to wait for to get to the plane, get her off, and then the plane to take off.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it just shows that she got through all of that, all the customs and checking and stuff, and she managed to get herself on the plane. Because she was seven and people at the airport thought...
You just assume.
Yeah, just assume that she was with her parents or one of these adults was, which could have been her parents.
I mean, this kind of makes me think that Majida's right by tagging our kids. I don't know. All right, we have to take a short break. Music coming up right now. We have a little bit of Marvin Gaye with Can I Get a Witness? When we come back, we are talking a little bit about how solar panels, they're getting a little bit of bling, something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, short break, music coming up. If you want to get in touch, we are at BFM Radio, of course, here on BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. On to our story number four here on our BFM 89.9. Solar panel bling.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I was waiting for a really... No, none of that. That's the thing, right?
Because you
bling
started
for solar panels is not exciting.
You started it with solar panels.
And
right.
I was like,
okay,
just
right.
solar panel, like, you know, progression.
Right,
solar
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's try a different phrase. High-tech architecture mm-hmm. or structural expressionism.
Is that any much better?
Much better?
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay,
so
okay.
Structural expressionism have begun to embrace solar, and it's the hottest thing under the sun.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. One amazing example, a company called Emirates Insolaire. They've got these custom-colored solar panels, and it's called Chromatics. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
And their line is, we go vertical, we dress the building with a beautiful energy-producing skin. So this is a product that debuted back in 2015 at the Water Energy Technology and Environment Exhibition, or WETEX, 2015. And it's finding its way into a lot more installations today, alongside Tesla's solar roof and other stuff. The idea is, I mean, very simply, what they do is instead of you having these solar panels on your roof, they have started building them on the side of buildings. Mm-hmm. And of course, for places like in cities or whatever, this is a great idea because you don't have that much square footage on a roof for these solar panels. But of course, you have huge amounts of space if you build vertically. The one thing is, though, a lot of these solar panels that we've seen are the ones that just look like, you know, either they're clear glass or they're kind of violet, purpley colored thing mm-hmm. that don't really match with anything else. And you don't really want to be seeing them as you're driving around the city.
Yeah.
Right? So this company have perfected this method where they can actually color the glass to match the environment that they're surrounded in or to try and match the kind of architecture of the building. And they offer a whole bunch of different colors, you know, gray, light gray, blue gray, green, bronze, gold, and terracotta. Mm. They're offering all of these kind of color finishes for your solar panels. Obviously, though, if you color a solar panel, the one thing is that the transmittance of solar power is reduced ever so slightly. For example, if you color it gray, it's 90% efficient rather than 100% efficient. If you color it terracotta, it's 87% efficiency rather than, you know, 100% efficiency. But the idea that people are looking at, you know, new ways of implementing solar into cityscapes is mm-hmm. something I find, you know, quite exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's quite exciting. That's why I started off with solar panels.
All the bling.
And bling.
Nice.
Yeah? No?
I kind of want to see like an art installation almost of like solar panels.
Okay.
Because now that you can put colors on the solar panels, it would be quite interesting to see, you know, maybe like messages or pictures or something like that, where it could be a kind of interactive thing, but also, you know, would like promote, like, you know, save the environment. So
right.
That would be actually really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's opened up, you know, a whole level of creativity to something that, you know, to technology that will also be beneficial in terms of energy saving and producing as well.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, you know, An Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
If they had like the poster for that made fully out of solar panels.
Ooh.
With
Ooh,
colors.
Ooh, that would be good.
That like generates like a small house or like a building or something.
That would be very, very cool.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the amount of things they could do with this, since now they can color it. But then you say that the efficiency is sort of, it drops a bit.
A little bit.
They'll need to figure that
within
out.
Within acceptable levels. Though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still worth the investment.
Yeah, but that's probably one of the biggest reasons why people don't have solar panels on the sides, right? Because you want your building to look nice. You don't want it to all just look gray and weirdly transparent or purplish or something.
I mean, once it starts becoming a little bit more acceptable, you know, having them at the side of buildings, that's when the price starts to come down.
Mm.
I mean, even buying yourself, I have a friend who has rigged himself in the UK of all places, where it's not exactly the most perfect place for solar panels, but he has rigged himself a device, a little solar panel that he drops outside of his window, and it powers his home whilst he's away at work.
Okay.
And when he comes back at work, he unplugs the solar panel and runs off the battery that he's charged. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is enough to power his one little, you know, room in his house, but nothing much more than that.
Mm.
But I like the idea of that, you know.
Isn't that how like Elon Musk's
power banks
work,
yeah,
right?
Very similar.
You charge them and then you keep the charge and then you just power up your houses and stuff.
You know, especially for a country like Malaysia, where we're constantly developing new buildings like all the time, even though there's no one necessarily to fill those buildings. Mm-hmm. If we could make those buildings out of these solar panels, like, can you imagine the amount of energy that you could generate with all of these like empty apartment buildings with solar panels in?
Right.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this is something that I think is really going to...
That's a smart idea.
...to benefit the industry entirely.
That's a smart idea.
No, why not? Like, I'm just going to put this out there. Like, since we love shopping malls and there are more shopping malls than there are people here, I think, why not make a shopping mall like decked out with solar panels and like colorful solar panels, completely powered by the sun, because we get good sun. There's never a day when there's no sun in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And if we have like 3 days of rain, then the sun comes back with like a vengeance for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So why not? Why not have like a small shopping center powered completely by the sun, like solar panels?
We have a pyramid, for heaven's sake. You know, that would be ideal for putting solar panels on. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Some way. Anyway, time to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from Pearl Jam. Oh, I've not played this in a while. It is Animal. When we come back, our final story of the day, we're going to be talking about a little update to WhatsApp that might well save your skin, potentially, for 7 minutes at least anyway. Don't go anywhere. It is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Final story of the day. WhatsApp has become a little bit smarter.
Right. So WhatsApp has added a bunch of new features to its iOS and Android apps to keep the apparently 1.3 billion strong user base pleased. Oh my goodness, that's a lot of people. The features will roll out on user smartphones through automatic over-the-air updates, and they will be available in phases, so not everyone will receive them at the same time, but they're coming. And the most important one of all of these new features is that you can now unsend a message.
Oh my word.
Which
the
is
future is now.
Beautiful to me, because you can already do that on Gmail, and that has saved me once or twice already.
Uh-huh.
So WhatsApp will now let users remove messages sent by mistake to another group or person. If you want to delete a message immediately after sending it, tapping on the delete button will show a new option, which is delete for everyone. This will remove a message not just from your device, but also from the device of the person who has received it. Once the message has been deleted, the person who has received it will no longer be able to see it, but will see another message saying that this message has been deleted. However, there is a catch. And the catch is this feature only works in the 7-minute period between you sending it and you know, after the 7 minutes, it's there forever.
And I'm assuming that the other person has to have the latest version of WhatsApp as well for this to work.
I am not sure about that, actually.
I feel like
that's not necessarily the case, but I don't know until the feature gets rolled out on my phone and I can try it for myself, to
okay.
be honest.
I'm happy to find out about this.
But I'm very, very excited. You can also, location sharing has become a lot easier as well. There's now a share live location feature.
That's something that scares me.
Keep on updating a shared location on a map in real time, which is, yes, terrifying. Another new highlight in WhatsApp is that it can now take advantage of the picture-in-picture feature of Android 8.0, which means users that have updated to the new OS will be able to make WhatsApp chat or video call in a small window while carrying out some other task on the rest of the screen. As well as that, Android users can now finally apply filters on their photos. My goodness. Amazing.
Welcome back, Android.
This is already available on iOS for a while now, but now five filters, cool, black and white, pop, chrome and film, are available to Android users too.
But let's be fair, nobody really edits the pictures on WhatsApp. They do it somewhere else and then upload them.
Correct.
Unless you're doing a quick snap of, this is where I am, snap.
No, but I have used the giant emoji, resizable emoji thing for my pictures. Like when I want to show someone something like a signboard, so I just send them and then there's like a finger pointing up at the word. Like,
nice.
Hey, look at this.
Right.
So those things are useful.
Yeah, I just use the drawing feature to draw an arrow.
And that's easier
for my life personally.
Yeah.
But you know.
I like the cute looking.
Now, kids, come on, don't argue.
But yeah, I'm personally thrilled about the fact that you can now recall a message on WhatsApp. I think that's fun, but also, ooh, I feel like that feature is gonna get a
lot.
It's
gonna get an abuse. The problem is gonna be, you know for sure that once you've recalled a message, you know, and particularly if it's to somebody else, it's gonna be, why did you delete that message? What did it say?
Yes.
All WhatsApp are doing are opening up another can of worms. It's useful for
still
sure.
Still useful.
I mean, you're free to lie. You don't have to actually tell them what the message is.
Oops, I pressed the wrong button.
Right. It was a typo. Yeah. It's autocorrect on your phone, dude.
No, I mean, the thing is, can you know if the other person has seen it or not? Because if the other person has seen it, then what's the point
exactly.
of recalling
right.
the message? It's pointless.
Particularly if for iOS, for example, when you get a notification for most stuff, it will show you a preview of what the message says.
Yeah.
I think the idea is with the 7-minute thing that you're meant to delete it immediately after sending it.
Yeah.
But
right.
it doesn't, sometimes you send something and you don't realize until about 5 hours later that it was not the right thing to send.
Yeah.
So in that case, well, that's just it for you.
Also, it's good that it's only 7 minutes because people should be accountable for what they say.
They can't just
say something mean to someone
and then
pull it back like 2 hours later as an apology, right?
Yeah.
You said something.
You did, yeah. Okay, we've come to the end of the show then. What a lovely little show we've had so far today. So we started off with
the fact that your iPhone's AI are tracking all of your pictures that it thinks are bras.
Okay, that's how we started off
Wednesday.
We then moved on to how we talked a little bit about how a company added the word blockchain to their company name and saw its share prices jump by 394%. That's not to give you ideas, folks.
Mm-hmm. And then we spoke about how Terminal 4 in Changi Airport in Singapore is using new cutting-edge technology to make your travels faster and safer.
I then talked about the thoroughly exciting, and everybody should be really excited about this project, Solar Panel Bling.
Yay.
Yeah, yay, thank you. Can I get a round of applause? Thank you very much. That was Solar Panel Bling. And then, of course, we finished off with
WhatsApp becoming smarter and now lets you unsend messages. Woo, finally.
Wonderful stuff. Right, we will be back, of course, at same time, same place tomorrow at noon. But coming up after the 1 o'clock news is the Breakfast Grill replay, as usual. It is with Dato Brian Tan, the group CEO of Techchem Group. So they started out as a textile chemical trader 40 years ago. The Techchem Group has done undergone tremendous growth and diversification into a multinational conglomerate, deals in industrial, food, polymer engineering, and restaurants that span across the ASEAN region, China, and Japan. Responsible for the founding of Sushi King, The Breakfast Grill spoke with its group CEO, Dato Brian Tan, to discuss Techscam's wide array of operations and how the company plans to move forward into the future. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.